Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikutlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Ketse, Kwikutlem, and Stolo First Nations, and at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie, and we're going to do a Music Monday today, and it's going to be an interesting one. This is a Kaigai Idol Music Special, I guess. Kaigai means overseas in Japanese, and idol is idol. This term was coined by an actual overseas idol, Paida, who's based in Texas. Now, if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, I've played Paida on the show before. I even interviewed Non-Sweet, who are a local Kaigai idol group. I interviewed them with friend of the show, Sam. And that was only, like, me lightly dipping my toe into the lake of overseas idols. I wanted to kind of expose myself a little bit more to that world. Because, you know, I love idols. And I'm really fascinated by the way that Kaigai idols do things so independently to, one, share idol culture and Japanese music and culture to other people, but mostly in how they organize themselves, structure themselves in their groups and their acts, because idols typically are very, very, very hyper curated and produced. And when you are an overseas idol, you have to do all of that yourself. This is highlighted in the interview that I did with Sam with Non-Sweet. You can check that out over on the CJSF archives, cjsf.ca, to find more. I don't know. That's it. I just wanted to understand more about this phenomenon, I guess. I feel like I have an obligation to, as an idol fan who lives overseas, but also because, this is something that really fascinates me. So, that's going to be the playlist today, and throughout I'm going to be talking a little bit about, like, what I've understood, what I've found in really cursory research about Kaigai idols. If you know more about Kaigai idols, overseas idols, or if you are an overseas idol based in Vancouver, even, reach out to me. I am over on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays, or you can send me an email, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Correct me, confront me on things that I have not expressed correctly, assumptions that I have made, or anything that you want me to highlight. But for now, we're going to listen to some overseas idol music on today's Typically Tuesdays. We're starting off with somebody who is, I guess, from across the pond? Is that how you say it? This is an idol who's based in Scotland. Her name is also an incredible name. Her name is Meowgical Rosie. I mean, come on. Come on! Here's Sixfold. I have to figure that looks so small and broken. Even in the
just forget about it. Cause even if your days are fading in shades of blue, no need to fret about it. I'll stay beside you till we find a warmer hue. No, I can never stray with you leading the way. Your light is the guide I need, and I'm surrounded by it. Cause even if your smile is weak, I'll always see a shining sixfold. Hours turn to days, little by little I see your smiling glimmers. The clouds begin to break, and yet I find that I'm shaking from the cold. Hey, are you okay? You say to me and my vision starts to shimmer. I thought I could be brave, but suddenly all my cracks begin to show. And I said, help me, won't you please? Now you no longer need me. I'm so scared to be all alone. The light inside of me is broken, can't you see? But then you took my hand and you spoke those words from long ago. So just forget about it. Cause even if your days are fading shades of blue,
い、もしもし。
あ、聞こえてる？
聞こえてるよ。どうしたの？
伝えたいことがあるんだ。
Maybe it's the way I find it hard to say that I need you and I'm thinking about you night and day。 名前呼ぶと癒されるそばにいるこそ強くなれる。 So tell me what you see the perfect side of me sparks a day
Alright, welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. That was Amuse Project with Love Language. Before that, you heard Phoebe with Loving Me. My name is Leslie. Did I say that already? I forgot. My memory is so bad these days. But I remember at least what the theme of the episode is. Seamless segue. And it is a playlist of these overseas idol songs. These idols who I'm playing on the show today, as I understand, they're most if not all independent musicians, and much of their music production is done by Japanese musicians and composers, though not all the time, because of access issues. But one of the things that I've been really kind of interested in is understanding where folks who are kaigai idols, where they get their beginnings, where they get their start. And it seems like a lot of people get them from a variety of different places, but mostly what motivates them to continue to perform is the fandom, which is such, like, I feel like maybe in the age of 2025, many people will think, oh, that's such like a, you know, like an influencer thing. But no. This is, before the influencers came, this was an idol thing, baby. Like, you have no grounds to stand on if you do not have a dedicated fandom of people back in the 2000s, even in the 1980s, if you were an idol, okay? I did only a little bit, again, really cursory understanding of overseas idols, even though I've met and spoken to them before. But I feel like I just, like, because this world, one, it's really niche, but also in that nicheness, it's incredibly diverse. There is a lot of stuff that I feel like I haven't gotten a very good grasp on yet, which is why I'm really interested in understanding more, as I understand it. Emu's project originally was a group of friends who were doing like cosplay dance covers of Love Live songs. If you don't know what Love Live is, oh my god, the gates of idol hell are waiting for you. Go on to Google, look it up. It's like an anime about girls at an all-girls school who become idols so that they can save their school from bankruptcy. And that franchise has like a more than 10-year history now. It like really rocked the socks off of a lot of people. Anyways, but I believe that is where Amy's project got their start, and then a few years ago they started releasing their own music. Now they're an Australia based group of, I don't know, 6 or 7 people. And then there's Phoebe, who I looked into her profile, very fascinating. Started posting, I want to say, English covers of Japanese songs on YouTube when she was really young, like when she was like a teenager, and then picked up a following there later on, after having established like a pretty good following, started releasing a lot of her own original songs, adopted like a more curated idol image, like a more intentional idol image, and now Phoebe is also a voice actor. She plays Freya in the video game Little Goody Two Shoes, which is a video game that I have been playing, but when I say I've been playing it for like a year, technically, because spoiler alert, it is a horror game. And further spoilers, there are like, you know, there's some body horror in it involving anime girls. And I'm not very good at body horror. But when I made the connection, or when I came upon the connection, because I'm not that intuitive, that Phoebe voices one of the characters, I was like, whoa, this is very cool. It's very, very interesting. It kind of even parallels, you know, a lot of voice actors in the Japanese voice acting industry for anime, a lot of the times they also release their own original songs as well. They kind of begin to like have a more curated, intentional idol persona as well. Some people also begin first as idols and then move on to becoming voice actors, such as one of the very best people on the internet and in the idol world, Sally Yamaki, Japanese-American, possibly pansexual icon. You should look her up if you haven't already. I'm going on and on. Okay, the first, let's get back into the music. The first part of today's playlist was like, ooh, love, that's so nice. You know, Magical Rosie was like, I've got you, babe. Platonic. And, you know, it's really sweet, right? Now we're gonna move into like the part of the playlist that's like a little bit darker, because that's the thing about these idols, these overseas idols, they are so creative in like creating their like idol character and image. Some of them are not loving characters and people. Some of them are people who have like a lot of angst. They carry a lot of hurt. Some people are alien overlords who are looking to take over the world, such as one of my very favorite, I guess, at this point, I guess she is one of my favorite Kaigai idols, Paida. Here is a track of her first album, First Contact, Sick of Humans.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. With its rubbery-sounding rattles and clownish red eyebrows, the ptarmigan is quite the standout northern bird. And it's particularly well-adapted to wintertime in the snowy realms it calls home. Like Cinderella at midnight, this bird is utterly transformed by winter. During its autumn molt, the ptarmigan sheds its mottled brown plumage for a cloak of snowy white. And skip the glass slippers. As the winter approaches, the ptarmigan's feet grow feathers. Even the bird's claws grow longer. And that added surface area means the ptarmigan is ready to travel over the snow. It practically has its own set of snowshoes. If you or I tried to travel across ptarmigan turf in winter, we'd likely sink into the snow up to our shins, our thighs, or even our hips. But not this bird. The ptarmigan's genus name, Lagopus, is a combination of the Greek words meaning foot and hare. Like a rabbit, Lagopus, hare-foot. The name's a nod to another big-footed northerner, the snowshoe hare. For more on the ptarmigan and other birds we feature, check out our website, birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Oh,
Back Into the Fire by Melancholia. Before that, you heard Baby Beard with Twisted Kaiju Tale here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. You're tuned into the first ankle deep walk into the lake of overseas idols. Yeah, I'm gonna say it like that because I have dipped my toe, technically, into this lake already. You know, I've been listening to Non-Sweet for a while, been listening to Paida for a while. I'm trying to expand my horizons to understand a little bit more about this niche music and entertainment world. It's like a combination of so many things. There's like cosplay involved, you got singing and dancing obviously as idols do, then you have like a lot of the other like typical idol things like meet and greets and like establishing like that parasocial connection, which in my opinion is like a huge skill that not a lot of people have. Something that I've learned in my research around Kaigai idols, I'm going to share two things. I find them very fascinating. Number one is that this is not a phenomena that's like confined to the West. Now, today on the playlist, I have basically only shared music from Kaigai idols from the West. So my case is not really helping here. But that is largely because I've been having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out how Kaigai idols from other parts of the world are produced and structured. I found this one group in particular. They're no longer active. They're called Lunch Girls. And the name in English sounds inelegant. It's Chūshoku Kanojo. And they are a Taiwan-based idol group who sing in Japanese. No, they sing in Mandarin, sorry. They sing in Mandarin, but they have Japanese names and like stage names, I guess. And I was trying to find out more information about them. I just could not figure out if they were an independent group, which is one of the reasons why I didn't put them on today's playlist. But there are a lot of groups like that, they're like not in, you know, they're like not in North America. They are not based in Australia. There's a lot of Australia representation on today's program. They're not based in Europe or anything like that. They are people who are like out there in East Asia, Southeast Asia, not in Japan, who are also overseas idols. And I just couldn't figure out whether or not they were independent. So what I've learned essentially is like anywhere you find people who love idols, who also love intensely performing, and like who are super, super into this like kind of niche, genre of music, they might take up the task of becoming a kaigai idol and sharing the joys of being an idol and the joy of idol fandom community to their locales. That's one thing that I learned. The other thing that I learned, which was probably the coolest thing in my cursory research, is that the kaigai idol community is, aside from being like, you know, having no borders, it is very, very diverse. They are a very accepting and open bunch. There are a lot of idols who are openly like identify as like neurodiverse or disabled. There are a lot of people who are openly queer or openly trans. And of course, like, people of all different backgrounds and of all different racialized communities will become overseas idols. And that's something that I think is so cool, because the idol industries, like, the, you know, basically all mainstream idol industries, but, for, you know, like, the people who started it, right, with the Japanese star system, it is a really, really, like, restrictive, apolitical industry. And, you know, the moment you kind of, like, step out of line, people are like, what's going on? But there's, outside of that, on the fringes, there are groups and there are performers who have expressed that they are, like, different in one way or another. It's just that that doesn't always get the spotlight. That is not always the thing that is kind of, like, highlighted and exalted into stardom. I'm thinking a lot about Wada Ayaka, actually. If you're an idol fan, you know who she is. But, like, folks like her who have been really outspoken about their progressive political views and who, like, openly identify as, like, feminist or queer. And to see that kind of, like, being turned on its head in this fandom community is so fascinating. It's something that I'm interested in understanding more, especially as I learn more about these groups and this community. Again, if you are a kaigai idol, potentially, or if you know a lot about kaigai idols, reach out, write to me. I am at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. I'm typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. I want to learn more. I want to share more to other listeners. We're going to listen to some more music. Speaking of listening, that was a terrible segue. That was bad. That was a bad segue. That was terrible. We're going to hop into it now with, of course, we gotta showcase them. We gotta showcase this group who are some local icons and in their own right. This is Non-Sweet with World's Friend, really showcasing the international aspect and the diverse cultural aspect, the multicultural aspect of the kaigai idol community with their song World's Friend, sung in 5 different languages. Holy moly, I didn't even know that there were that many languages in the world. Whoa. But first, here's a bird note.
This is Bird Note. When humans first arrived on what is now Cuba, they would have encountered an ecosystem somewhat different than we know it today. The ancestors of the Guanahatabey people likely shared the island with sloths as big as black bears ambling through the open woodlands, monk seals lounging on the beaches, long-legged owls the size of children stalking the forest floor at night, and all of them living in the shadow of a giant. Gigantohyrax is an extinct genus of eagles whose fossils have been found in local cave deposits and tar seeps. They've left only scant remains, mostly leg bones, but the fossils show that these birds were heavily built and massive. With an estimated weight of nearly 30 pounds, Gigantohyrax suarezi, the larger of the two named species, would have been the biggest raptor known from the Americas, barely edged out by the similarly sized Haas eagle of New Zealand. This would make them 10 times heavier than the red-tailed hawk. Little else is known about Gigantohyrax, but forthcoming research may help us better understand the lifestyle and appearance of these awesome Antillean eagles and the lost ecosystem of the island they ruled. For Bird Note, I'm Ade Ben Salahuddin.
At dawn, five girls prepare for the ultimate takeoff. Their mission is to discover the long-lost world's friend. With the universe as their limit, they're destined to shatter all borders. But they'll need power from all of you to unite this world. Once and for all, for the good of mankind, something must be done. Are you ready? Go, non-sweet!
Because
That was Non-Sweet with World's Friend here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Wow. Again, so blown away by how many languages are in that song. Non-Sweet is made up of, like, legitimately, like, various many types of people. So it's really cool to hear them all being able to, like, sing in, like, a language that's not English. And I mean, I think they have, like, some songs in Japanese as well. But it's really cool to be able to hear, like, other languages involved. Because, like, really, I think that's kind of what a little bit of the phenomena of being, like, an overseas idol is. It has to do with, like, the concept of taking idols out from the confines of a border and, you know, doing with it in a way that is, that you can, like, make the concept accessible to the people of your locale. And if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you know that I'm, like, endlessly fascinated by the globalization of idols, and how the concept of idols has changed and shifted, and how in many ways it has always been actually, like, one that has been influenced by many cultures, right from the get-go. So that song, I think, is, like, such, like, such an interesting, how do you say, example of that. And as we wrap up the show today, I want to thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Typically Tuesdays, in which I talk incessantly about idols. This is probably going to become a regular thing. I've been thinking probably accidentally what will happen, like, unintentionally. It's like there will be at least one idol-focused show each month on Typically Tuesdays this year. I'm sorry. And at the same time, I'm not, because perhaps you too also love idols. If you are, again, get in touch. Let's talk about it. I'm at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. You can email me also, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. And if you are just being exposed to idols, well, thank you for sticking around. I hope you learned something and something fascinated you. Tune into more great CJSF programming. I really advocate for people to listen to Democracy Now, even though it's technically not CJSF programming. But I think listening to Democracy Now, listening to the news, even though it might give you a mental health crisis, I know it does for me. I think it's really important right now. It's a broad way to understand what's happening in the world and what we need to do to keep ourselves and, importantly, our communities safe. So check out Democracy Now! Every weekday from 11 to 12. On that note, I am going to end off the show today with one final song. This is another one by Paida. I don't remember if I've ever played the song on Typically Tuesdays before, because I love it so much. And actually, the song was showcased on Japanese television when Paida was featured on a reality television show called What Are You Doing in Japan? Or something like that. It's about non-Japanese people going to Japan. Anyways, it's a really good one. I hope you enjoy. Here's Galaxy Racer on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. I'm Leslie. I'll talk to you very soon.